You're listening to BizTech Talk with Dan Kelson from the Innovation Lab of Perot Systems. I'm speaking with Yves DeSager and Chris Deneef, who are two speakers that will be presenting at our April 23rd to the 25th event. The event is called Innovation Insights 2007. If you want to find out more about that, it's at www.ii2007.com. Yves is with P41 Industrial Services. P41, I just found out, is the 41st principle of trees. Trees is the Russian theory of inventive problem solving, which we'll get into a little bit here. Really interesting stuff. I've done a number of interviews around trees and have been diving into this for about 6 months now. It's about 50, 60 years old, but just really kind of taking off now. We'll get into that in a little bit. Yves's background for the last 10 years has been in process innovation and process engineering, and specifically applying trees methodology to process and manufacturing areas. Chris, as it turns out, we met a couple of years ago in a social networking presentation that I had given probably 2004 or so, and we've been bouncing around talking about social networking, social software for a while now. He's with Fast Track Consulting. He has a deep knowledge management background, had worked with Fujitsu, heading up their knowledge management area there, and has been doing consulting in IT and management for 20 years or so. Their session at the event in April is called Trees, Uniting Innovation and Knowledge Management. Why don't we hop in here and get a brief glimpse as to perhaps, Chris, if you could talk about what are some of the major findings of Trees so that people can kind of get their head around this.
Well, there is basically a fundamental principle in trees, which is that if you face a problem and you're looking for a solution to your problem, then probably you're looking for something that has already been done somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Solutions and problems are basically repeated across industries, across scientific practices. And it is not necessarily when you're looking into your own practice or into your own industry that you will find the best solution to your problem. The same is true in terms of how things evolve and patterns of technical evolution of issues and problems and problem solving.
Okay.
So what is at the heart of trees because of that is a very broad range of scientific knowledge about how things are being done, which is typically, of course, a knowledge management issue.
And so from the knowledge management perspective, knowledge management, of course, it's not knowledge unless it's being shared, especially the problem of people having knowledge stuck in their heads and trying to get that out. And trees kind of takes it to another level, not just having knowledge, but being able to spread it beyond a specific domain and out into other realms.
Well, the people that use trees, they use databases and with lots of techniques and ways of doing things. And they use, for example, the 40 principles, which you mentioned before, which are being used in the contradiction matrix. And all this knowledge is to a certain degree at a very abstract level.
Right.
And where knowledge management comes in is when we can bring that, I would say, to the more operational level, because we find the right principle in trees, we apply it, and then we basically implement a solution which is innovative in a whatever the context of the process of the organization is.
Right.
If I can add something to what Chris just said, the trees will help you to solve your problem, but as Chris said, on a very abstract level. And there are several different ways to solve a problem. And let me share some of them. The one Chris mentioned is the contradiction matrix and the 40 principles.
Right.
But in fact, there is another technique which is called the Suffield analysis, which is all about looking at two objects, two substances, and the field which is acting upon it. And what the Russians have made, in fact, is a way that just describes in a very formal, almost chemical way what your problem is. And once you have described what your problem is, trees will help you, give you a direction how you could solve it. Two-field analysis is a different way than contradictions. But there are several others. One other is the one developed by Boris Sotin and Alan Zussman, which is, in fact, looking at patterns of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And which is quite clear, that is, that trees originated by looking at patents. The interesting part Boris Sotin and Alan Zussman did was they said, well, listen, not all patents will succeed in the world. Some patents do and others don't.
Right.
So this was a trigger for them to look at history and use history as a knowledge database to solve problems. The fourth I would like to mention, which I'm in fact using myself a lot, is functional modeling. But perhaps I can give a small example.
Sure, that'd be great.
When I was working for a very large company, there was a production process where the people were producing a certain kind of rubber, but in order to vulcanize it, they had to pack it in with tape. And with a lot of fixtures, this took them about 2.8 hours before they were able to put all the products within this packaging and to put them out of this packaging.
Hmm.
But when you look at what is the basic function of this packaging is, you would say, to pack, which is correct. But if you look closer, the only added value or the only function this product does is to press against the rubber. And when you look at how many ways are there to put pressure upon something, and I'm not talking about people now, but I'm talking about products. The first thing that comes in mind is pneumatic pressure. And every company uses air pressure. So, in fact, this small example, which looks at functional modeling, helps you to quickly find alternative solutions. But what is the trick? The trick is that you make an abstract level. You think about your problem, you abstract it, and then you come back to an interesting direction.
The interesting and problematic aspect of trees is how to enable yourself or others to jump from the abstract to the concrete, or, you know, start from concrete and abstract and come back and find solutions elsewhere. I think it comes back to the definition of what people have. What is innovation? Does it mean that it's never, does it mean invention? It's never been done before. It's something brand new on the planet. Or does it mean that I found a novel way to solve a problem that I have, and it doesn't matter if I invented that or if it, somebody else did, I'm using it for my own.
This is exactly the point I would like to make. Innovation, not only, it doesn't have to do with the fact that you find, finding a solution that nobody else has solved in this world, because at that point you're making a discovery.
Right.
What is more interesting to do, which is also innovation, is in fact recombining insights from other industries and other sectors. And at this level, you're using technologies that are meant for one thing, but you can use them in another way for something else.
Right.
Maybe to give another example, for a large painting company, we have found a solution where we don't need to transport all the paint through the tubes. By simply looking, this happens a lot, just by looking what other technologies they had within the company. And we found a technology that they knew about, but never thought that they could use this technology for this particular problem. And as soon as you reach this level, you say, wow, how is it possible that we never saw this? But then this is the fun about this, that it is so simple and easy, but you have never even seen it before. And then you have an innovation.
And this is innovation on process, which I think is a very important thing to mention, Dan. Because if you innovate on your product, then that is something that is immediately visible to the outside world, and it is something that will get copied very rapidly by the competition.
Right.
But if you innovate on process, then basically you're innovating on your core competency, and it is something that will be much more difficult to be copied by the competition. It will actually take quite a longer time for them to catch up. The strength of what we can do if we combine knowledge management and trees is that we can create a capability for organizations to innovate at the core of their business, which is at the process level.
Defining innovation, I believe many people and companies do get hung up on, you know, new product development, you know, visible hard good product development is what innovation is all about, and there's plenty of work that can be done on the inside of an organization that, that will help speed up other more visible aspects of innovation, but it might help to establish a kind of core competency around innovation itself.
The question could be, Dan, is that you could think about how is trees coping and tagging knowledge? How is trees doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And this same approach could be used in knowledge management. I think this is an interesting direction, to learn about trees, how trees solve problems, and how this process is going on, and looking at the knowledge management perspective and see how trees can help knowledge management and vice versa.
Right, and tie that into a process that helps facilitate it all, and now we're talking some real power for organizations.
And this is what our conference will be about. Of course, as you could hear from Eve, with lots of practical examples.
Great. Well, I think that's a good teaser. Let me wrap up again. I was just speaking with Eve DeSager and Chris Deneef, who are two of our speakers for the April 2007 event, April 23rd to the 25th. The event is Innovation Insights 2007. The session that they'll be speaking on is Trees, Uniting Innovation and Knowledge Management. Thanks for your time, Eve and Chris. I look forward to having you at the event.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.